You will in your Bibles, the First Samuel, book of First Samuel. Now, tonight we want to cover chapters 1 through 12. So if you will listen quickly, I will preach quickly. And it's about the life of Samuel. Samuel was a great man. From the period of the judges to the period of kings of Israel, we see a transition. And Samuel was that man. Now, in verse 1, it says, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jothrim, and son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives, and one of them was named Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. The man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for the Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival was provoking her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we study 1 Samuel. Lord, that you might open up our hearts to the word that you have for us. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. The Bible closes over in Judges, where it said, every man did according to that which was right in his own eyes. Now, there's a problem there, for we're not to do what's right in our eyes. That's what's wrong with it nowadays. We're to do what's right in God's eyes. Now, Eli was the high priest. He had two sons that just were an embarrassment to him and the nation of Israel. They were just a great disgrace. And this is the atmosphere in which the life of Samuel is given to us. I want us to just look first at his mother and just talk about his mother. You see, I believe the secret of the greatness of a man is his mother. If it hadn't been for the mothers in the world today, we wouldn't be blessed with the children that we have in our lives. I praise God for a mother who loved the Lord, who blessed God. And this was Hannah. She loved the Lord. We're told in verse 1 of Samuel's father, Elkanah. And then in verse 2, we're told of Samuel's mother, Hannah. But there's a problem. In verse 2, you know what that problem is? Elkanah had two wives. That is a problem. Now, just because the Bible mentions something doesn't mean that the Bible approves of that. Polygamy is a problem in the life that we see all through the Old Testament when they had this problem in the family. And the problem is mentioned, but Hannah had no children. That was a problem. And Hannah, she had children, and she aggravated, we'll just say aggravated, provoked Hannah. She, didn't have a child. So in the Old Testament, that was looked at, that was a problem. She was looked down upon as maybe she had a curse from God. But her adversary always provoked her. And, it made her miserable in life. So what did she do? Instead of provoking the one, she kept praying to God, and she went to God with her problem. Folks, that's what we need to do in our lives. When we have a problem, we're to go to God with that problem. We're not to cause trouble. We're just to go to God and pray about it. You know, I found if we'll go to God and ask Him how to solve a situation in our life, He does. He shows us how to do that. You know, we don't need bitterness in our life towards someone. Just pray for that person and ask God to show us how to deal with that person. And she asked God for a son. And she said this, "Lord, if you will give me a child, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him unto you." And that's what God did. In verse 12, she continues to pray. She kept praying to God and asking God. Instead of letting the problem be a source of turmoil in her life, she just prayed to God about it over and over and over. She took that problem to God. And in verse 13, Hannah is speaking her heart to God. And Eli, the high priest, sees her. And he begins to think, this woman is drunk. She's speaking, you know, and talking, and it's early morning. She must be drunk. You know, true prayer is from the heart, isn't it? And she wasn't uttering words. She was speaking from the heart. Now, Eli, the priest, had gone, I believe, so far from God, he didn't know a drunken woman from one that had a burden on her heart. And so there's a problem in his point of view. And sometimes our burdens are so heavy in our life that words can't express, and then we ask the Holy Spirit just to pray for us that we might solve these problems. And God heard her prayer. God heard her prayer. And God gave her a son, a wonderful son, named Samuel, means ask of God. And in chapter 2, we see that it's a beautiful expression of praise. If you read chapter 2 there, you see it's a beautiful expression of praise and prayer to God. Praise always and prayer always go together. And when we have an answer to prayer, when we have God bless our lives, we ought to pray, praise Him for it. I believe if you don't praise God for answering your prayer, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Man, we always thank God for the glory that He gives in our life when He does something for us. Maybe it's an answer that you didn't want, but praise Him anyhow. In verses 19 through 26, every year, Hannah brought Samuel to the temple. She made that trip to the temple. And in verse 21, the Bible says he grew before the Lord as he was there. He grew before the Lord. In other words, he gained wisdom in the things of God, I believe, with all my heart. And he grew, the Bible says, in favor with the Lord and with men. You see how God is answering her prayer by giving her this boy? And you see how God is developing this young man? Folks, I believe that with all my heart. We need, the Bible says, to train up our child in the way that they should go. And the trouble is today, we want to let somebody else raise our children. We want somebody else to tell us how to raise them, but we don't want to correct them, you see? And, you know, we have to do those things that are pleasing to God and do what Hannah did. Bring them to church, bring them to the house of God, and get that wisdom from a godly teacher or godly parents. And there they brought a bull for the child to be sacrificed, that bull to be sacrificed. And the slaying of this animal, I believe, was an act of sacrifice on that family's part. And it's a pre-picture, I believe, of the offering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, how his precious blood that was shed on the cross. Oh, what they did in that sacrifice of that bull every year. You see, whatever you do as a parent, I believe we ought to pray for our children on a daily basis. We ought to teach them the things of God on a regular basis in the Word of God and be parents that are pleasing to God. Now here we've talked about the mother, because this mother was the one that prayed for her child and brought her child to God and lived that godly life. Now in chapter 3, I told you I was going fast, you have to listen. Chapter 3, Samuel's ministry starts. Samuel ministered unto the Lord God before Eli. In other words, he opened the doors. He went before Eli. He lived in the house of God. He opened the doors for Eli. Now, I can remember in my younger days, I was sitting there thinking the other night about going to church in my younger days. We were always in church. We was in some church on Sunday morning. It might have been the Methodist, it might have been the Baptist, it might have been the Pentecostal, but we were there in church. Dad always carried us to church. And when God called me into my ministry, I was in church. I was in church and listening to God. You know, God was speaking in my life even before I knew He was speaking in my life. But I heard His call. And I think that if we grow up in church, we're sensitive to the Word of God, we're looking in the Word of God, then God will speak to our hearts. Every time we go to church, we ought to listen for what God is saying to us. It may come from a Sunday school teacher. It may come from a song. It may come from the preacher. But I believe you're here to let the Spirit speak to our life. And the Word of God was so precious in those days. And there was no open vision, but it was God that spoke to his heart that way. And the people many times are not receptive to it, just like in our churches today. It's not that God does not speak. It's our mind and our eyes are closed to the things of God. And it was the same way in with God's people in 1 Samuel. We live in East Texas, folks. It is in the, I would say, the Bible Belt. We have churches all around us. We have different denominations all around us, and there's all sorts of opportunity to worship God. But on any Sunday morning, there's more people out on the lake or running around or at ball games than there are in God's house. You see, we become dull of hearing in America. We do not attend God's churches. We do not want to hear what God has to speak to our heart. And many will not come because they're just dull of hearing. They don't seem to get anything out of God's Word. They've closed their hearts to God's Word. Now, in chapter 3 and in chapter 4, you see him serving, but in chapter 4, we see the call into the ministry, the call of Samuel. Now, here's the way it went. I hope I can get it all right. He was in the house of God, Eli, and he heard God speak during sleep. And he heard God call, and he went to Eli, and he said, "Did you call?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Went back to bed, and God spoke to him again. He goes to Eli and says, "Eli, did you call me?" Now, this is my version, okay? And he said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." He does that a third time. And Eli, it finally dawns on Eli that this young man, it's God who is speaking to him. And he says, "Next time that you hear him speak, say, 'Lord, your servant listens.'" And he hears him speak. God was working in his life. And it dawned upon Eli that God was moving in Samuel's heart, and God had a plan, and God spoke to him on that fourth time. He said, "Speak, Lord, and I'll hear." You know, God still calls people today. He calls people today. It may not be just like Samuel here, but he calls people. And if we have ears to hear him with and our hearts open to God, he speaks to our heart. I don't know about you, but I know Brother Teddy, and I know Brother Bill, and I know Brother Perry and Brother Jay, where we've all heard God speak to the call to the ministry in one way or the other. And that call is just as plain as him speaking, or I'm speaking to you. I could hear him speak to my heart. And I knew he was calling. The Lord calls. Now, have you heard the call? He calls all of us for something. And are you willing to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens"? That's the problem in most cases. God speaks to us, but we don't want to hear him, do we? Now, Samuel is given a man, if you read this scripture, he's given a heavy, heavy message for a young boy to speak. And he says, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth shall tingle. Now, that's not going to be good news, is it? It's not going to be good news. The thing that God is fixing to do is not going to be good news. But he gives that to Samuel. And now Samuel comes to Eli. Eli says, "Tell me what God spoke to you about." "Well, you know, if it'd been me, that'd been a big, big task to do." You have the high priest, and Samuel says, "Okay, I'll tell you." And he says, let's see, it's in chapter 7, verse 3. "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hands of the Philistine.'" Now, boy, God is saying, "Listen, you need to repent, Israel. You need to turn around. You're in a mess. You're worshiping strange gods." And Samuel becomes God's messenger to the nation of Israel. Oh, let's see. You can read about that in chapter 7. That is God's message, I believe, to America today. We just prayed for our president, and he needs our prayers. Our Congress needs our prayers. But let me tell you something, America needs our prayers. Our country is going further away from God each day. The old devil is having a field day. And God says, "Listen, America, you are to return to me. Put away those strange gods that you have." And folks, I believe with all my heart, America has his ears closed. We're not listening. God simply says, "Return to me." You know, I believe God speaks to our church. And I wonder today if our churches are listening. For he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wickedness. I will hear their prayers and I'll heal their land. And folks, our church members today are hard of hearing. They're not listening to what God is saying. We want everything our way. We want the materialism. We want secularism in our lives. And it's grown in amongst our people. And we need to prepare our hearts tonight, today, to serve the Lord. You see, Samuel was not only a preacher, he was a prayer. We see in chapter 7, verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. He was a prayer. He wanted their people to turn around. I read that and I said, you know, I believe he probably learned that from his parents, didn't he? He learned that if you had a problem, you take it to God. And oh, how we need our churches to turn back and turn to God. We need to learn how to get a hold of God in prayer. Folks, we need not only preachers, we need our deacons, we need our teachers, we need our churches to pray and get a hold of God. Yes, it's not going to be everything you want, but oh, how we need the power of God back in our lives. And oh, how we need the power of God in our churches. You see, if God's power was in our churches would be full of people. And we would be worshiping God, and we would be happy with God, and God would be happy with us, and we wouldn't worry about being through at 12 o'clock or whatever time. You see, we'd only have one thing on our mind, is praising God for the blessings that He's given us. And we wouldn't be worried with all the, we wouldn't see all the killings that we have in our country, in our schools, and you hear it every day. We wouldn't have that. You wouldn't have to have people taking gun courses to protect the churches. You see, what has happened in our country? And we call ourselves a Christian nation. Man, it's hard to see it, isn't it? Well, that's the mother and that's the ministry or the man. And now we see the last part of that 8 to 12 is his mission. When I started, I said Samuel was in a transitional period in life. He moved the people from a period of judges to a period of the kings. Now, here's a story in chapter 8. Samuel, well, he had some sons. They didn't follow his ways. You know, there's many a godly parent that raises their children and they somehow they go astray. Every child has to make that decision on his own. I heard a long time ago, God has no grandchildren. Every generation has to come to God for their self. Just be sure, if your children are not where they should be, it's not your fault. Okay? You train them up. You get them in church. You pray for them on a regular basis. And if they go astray, just be sure you didn't lead them there. And you keep praying for them. But they were looking for a king. And the people of Israel said, we want a king, Samuel. We want a king. We want a king. They had a king, didn't they? His name is God. He's God. But they wasn't satisfied with God. They were away from God, and they wanted to be like everybody else around them. They wanted a king to lead them. And, you know, God tells us to be different, doesn't He? He tells us to be pure. We don't have to be like everyone else. Well, they kept crying for a king, and God says, Samuel, give them their king. But you can tell them, this is what's going to happen. So what does Samuel do? He does everything he can to make the situation as good as possible. Samuel was a man that was leading a nation from one period of time to another period of time. And folks, we're in a transition in our nation. I believe we're going from one period of time to another period of time every single day. I don't like change. I'll just be honest with you. You know, I like everything just like it is. You know, you ask Rhonda, I put my little things in a drawer, and I don't want that changed. I put my toothbrush when I get through with it in that little cup in the hole on the back corner right there. And every once in a while, she'll move it. I don't like that. As long as I don't reach up there and grab a shaver, razor blade, I'll be doing good. You grab your razor blade instead of a toothbrush and try to brush your gums with it, it's going to cut them all to pieces. But folks, let me tell you something. We see change every day. Now, there's good change, I believe. You know, there's good change. But the eternal principles of God's Word never change, okay? They never change. We must change sometimes in organization. We must change sometimes in principles of teaching, maybe, but never change the Word of God. Always grow with Christ and always go. That never changes. And the Bible tells us when Samuel is old, he gives his farewell address in chapter 12. And you know what about Samuel? No one could point to one thing in his life that was wrong. No one. From a boy who started out in the house of God to a man, he had faith in God and he lived for God. Now that's the life of Samuel in the first 12 chapters. You know, when he died, the whole nation, the Bible says, mourned. I'm wondering, if we die tonight, will anybody miss us? If we died as a church, would anybody miss this church? I hope so. I hope we make a difference in somebody's life. I hope we make a difference as a church in this town, that if we're gone, they will know that there's a big void left for the cause of Christ. You see, that's what I want to be found as, being faithful to God all the way through life, and at the end of life, not one thing found that they can say bad about this church or about you. If God is leading you to a call, if God is asking you to do something, pray, seek His face, and do that. If you're lost tonight, would you come to Jesus? If you're saved, are you right with Him? Whatever decision you need to make tonight, this is a good night for it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the life of Samuel. We thank You for our mother that trained him up, that made a promise to God and kept her promise. We thank You for a young man who was faithful to God and was called by God for a mission. And then the message that he gave, Lord, use that message. Use us in life that people might know that we are Christians. And we'll give You the praise, for it's in Your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.